Hello and welcome to the Random Pinoy Geek Podcast, the show where we geek out to three random topics until the timer runs out. I'm your random host, Sushi, and with me are...
Elvin.
And JR.
We're friends and geeks who grew up in the Philippines, and in each episode we hang out and talk about things that are near and dear
to all our little geeky hearts.
But before we start, if you would like to support the show and are a content creator ready to take the next step in your journey, check out episodify.com. They'll help produce and edit any content you're creating. Whether it's audio or video, short form or long form, they do it all. That's episodify.com. Now, on to the episode.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Hey guys, well, I'm kind of hungry right now and I still want to talk about food. Well, yes. What is your most loved or most hated food flavoring? Like, it could be in milk tea.
It could be sauce.
Yeah, any flavor that comes into your mind.
My favorite flavor is green.
What?
No, seriously.
Green?
Anything that's green, anything that comes in green packaging.
Really?
Good.
Well, here's the thing.
Pringles.
My current favorite flavor for milk tea is matcha.
Green.
It's green.
Pringles.
Yeah, Pringles. It's sour cream and onion. Sour cream and
Nagaraya.
Onion. What? Is there green Nagaraya?
The good one, yes.
Wasabi.
What's the flavor?
Wasabi.
Yeah, wasabi
green.
Is good.
My favorite flavor is green.
Matcha. But first, let me ask you, what's your take on matcha? Kit Kat matcha?
I haven't tried.
Haven't? But matcha.
Matcha is kind of bitter and I'm...
You're not, no,
here's
for
the,
it.
Here's
You're
the
not
thing.
For it?
I'm not so
here's
for
the thing.
It,
I used to, someone used to cook matcha downstairs. And then I was like, this is what matcha is? Like, what the hell?
Cook matcha?
Yeah, cook matcha, bake.
Coke? Oh, okay, cook. I thought it's like
no.
Soda?
No. Cook. No, like, yeah.
Or bake?
So bake matcha, whatever, right?
Ah.
And I was like, man, this is matcha. Yes, I don't get the whatever,
the hype,
right?
The hype.
But then I went to a chef. I went to somewhere where a chef prepared something matcha, whatever dessert, right? Matcha. Mm. That was just so good. And it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. You can make it good. It's just that you can make it bad if you don't. Because it's like chocolate is never going to be bad.
I see.
I think it's because there's such a...
Like,
there's
you can put
narrow,
too much.
Yeah, there's like a small margin of error when it comes to matcha because it can be very intense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like...
So, and it becomes bitter if you put even just a little too much. Whereas everything else is just like, oh, more chocolate.
Yeah, and the strength of matcha is it's like grassy. It's like that earthy taste. But if you go like too much over, then you can't appreciate it anymore.
I mean, there's so much hate for matcha online. Like,
really?
Yeah, people say that they're like eating.
Maybe it's over. Oh, okay.
Huh.
They feel like they're goats when they taste matcha. Something like that.
Mm, okay.
So there's team matcha and then team something else.
Team goats.
I don't mind being the goat.
me too. I mean, but yeah, I really like matcha.
Good matcha is really great. The funny thing is, matcha,
does classify under green, so.
Yeah, there are things in matcha where I don't really like as much, but I've never had wheatgrass that I said, this is bad wheatgrass. Because like,
wait, what, wheatgrass?
Wheatgrass, you know, like that health, quote unquote, health drink.
I've never
because
had
your expectation
wheatgrass.
Because your expectation for wheatgrass is like, oh, it tastes bad. And it tastes, oh, it's not
so
that
is it
bad.
Actually good or is it just beyond expectation where expectation is
terrible? Exactly. Well, it's taste is not its main thing. It's for health, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, I'm expecting it. It's kind of like tea.
Oh, it's like, I have a better example. It's like Impossible Meat. Where
I haven't tasted Impossible. Well,
Burger King had Impossible Meat. I don't know if they still have it. But here, they actually had Impossible Burgers.
Is it that or is it still textured?
No, it's literally Impossible Burgers.
Impossible because it's not meat?
Impossible is the brand.
Oh, okay.
And it's basic. So I had it. Mm-hmm. It's like, it literally tastes like a normal Burger King burger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not better than a regular Burger King burger. Or, well, some people argue that it is. But for me, it's the same. And your expectation was really low because it's like vegetables, right? And then when it tastes like meat, that's like, wow. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. There.
Yeah.
Wheat grass.
But there's a specific type of food that unfortunately I'm not really that into. Even though I like, every time I see it, it's like, oh, so it looks so good. It's cherry. So I
cherry
flavor. Yeah, cherry flavors
I would,
and
I would
cherry
never
fruit.
Buy cherries on my own, but I eat cherries when someone gives me a tray of cherries for free. I don't mind.
Even that's, cherries in a
even
cocktail.
Cherry every cherry mix. Like and
oh like
mentally
fake like the what would you call that?
Maraschino.
The cherries that are not brined, but yeah.
Candy, maraschino
candy,
cherries.
Yeah. Oh, that's called
maraschino. 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 Yeah, it's the one, it's the green. Yeah. But the idea is like, I know mentally what it is, and it's good, but it's because when I was a kid, I got sick a lot, so I always got medicine, tempra.
Mine was tempra grape.
Do you like grapes?
Nah.
That's the thing.
You don't like grapes?
Well, I like
well,
the
Jack
muscat,
the
muscat
yeah.
grapes.
But that's the thing. Like,
muscat.
I think that's the reason why, because when I growing up, every time I had cherry, it was during the time when I was sick or feeling unwell. And so growing up, even though it's like, oh, that looks, the cherry looks really nice. And then it's like, I don't know. It doesn't hit me the same way as like, I think I was ruined on cherries. Even though it's like so pretty, it's like cherry is so nice to look at. Mm-hmm. And then when I see when I try, it's like a strange feeling of dread comes upon me. Oh, this is
No, but to be fair, that's only the maraschino cherries, like the cherries, like you know, whole cherries are kind of fine.
It because it's not as intense. Yeah, I agree. Because it's not as intense. But then, aren't you in cherries to get that intense cherry taste? Same thing with cherry coke. I can't.
I don't like cherry coke.
Or Dr. Pepper. Because Dr. Pepper's like main focus is cherry.
Tastes like medicine, really.
I guess that's like more of like a taste regret. It's not that I dislike it, but more of like I regret not being able to appreciate it as much.
Because you associated it with the
illness
medicine,
when I was a kid, yeah.
It's the same with me. Because yeah, tempura grape tastes like tang grape, I think.
Wait, so you don't like grape at all?
I still eat
grape
grapes.
Juice. Like grape juice. Do you like drinking grape juice?
I drink the green grapes. Del Monte, I think. The one in Tetra Pak litter.
Ah, yeah.
That white grape. White grape. So I drink that. I eat Shine Muscat grapes, which is green.
Green?
Again, green.
Green is really just the
best. Have you seen the what's it called? The cotton candy grape?
I haven't.
So it's like a type of grape that you're supposed to freeze, and then when you eat it, tastes like candy.
Oh,
wow!
They said it's like.
But I think
very
any
grape.
Any small enough grape,
you can freeze it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they just need to be small enough.
I don't know if it's like a branding thing, but I saw it's like, oh, it's amazing. Cool.
No, I'll probably not do that. No, I would.
I'm gonna try. You can just pop in grapes in the freezer.
It's like how much is a kilo of grapes now? Like ₱1,000. Ugh. Yeah, something like that.
What?
Yeah,
it's inflation. Uh-huh.
Because like 200 grams, 200 pesos. Something like that. I'm guessing, I'm like super ballparking, but at least to my memory, it's,
I don't remember the price, but I bought some from Baguio. That's why I'm,
is it
maybe
local
it's,
grapes?
Maybe it's cheaper from Baguio.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The provinces.
Possibly, right?
Fruits are really nice. I'm just really hampered by the skin. Like, so like grapes I really like, but it has to be skinned.
What? What?
Yeah,
you don't eat the skin.
I reach a point where it like chew it.
I mean, I kind of get it. The skin is kind of bitter. Blah blah blah.
Oh, it's not the taste. It's more of a texture thing. It's like I'm still chewing the same skin I was chewing earlier.
What?
I'm three grapes in.
Doesn't the skin pop?
So it pops, but it's
so
there,
what
yeah.
you do is you swallow. I don't want to swallow something that I haven't finished chewing.
Oh my god!
It's nice
so
though, but
apples with the skin on.
It feels weird. I keep chewing
pears.
Wait, apples as well?
Yeah, anything that has a skin, I like have trouble because I keep eating the
longanisa.
if the longanisa skin is not like super crispy and if it's like really rubbery, it's.
I mean that I kind of get. This is just like literally you eating intestine, so
which is not bad. It's just like it's like. Chewing, you're chewing for a long time until you reach
a point
where you
think of something. Lechon. Wait, you hate lechon.
Lechon skin.
Baliwag. Skin.
Skin. What?
I mean,
if if the skin
it's really
is
thin,
but that's the thing. If the skin like is, I think that's
crunchy
why
and everything that's
just fine. Crunchy and easy. Like that's why I think frozen grapes would work really well because the skin's like glass.
Glass.
Mm-hmm. Chicken.
Chicken skin.
Chicken skin is easy to chew.
Not like normal chicken with skin.
Yeah. What? Chicken skin is so easy to break. It breaks up so easily.
Where's the chicken tinola skin?
Yeah. When it's not fried, with the wet chicken skin.
Oh, wait. I just realized something. What color is baliwag?
Green.
Yeah, there you go.
But you have a soup, right? So you're eating soup, right? Then suddenly you're eating like a nice chicken soup. All of a sudden you get a piece of chicken skin. Boiled chicken skin. Uh-huh. Do you guys like that?
Wait, what? Chicken soup? And then boiled chicken skin?
Yeah, the chicken skin that was on the piece
of
meat.
It's not fried, yeah. So I guess it's steamed or boiled.
It's boiled chicken skin.
So you boil chicken, get the skin.
Are you okay with
that?
Right?
Do you like that?
I haven't tried it because if I'm going to do that, I'm going to fry it.
Exactly. You want to fry it first and then add it later. But whenever I get the chicken, it's like, you know what? I know what you can be. This is not you at your best. So I'm like, you're talking to the chicken skin. I know you can do better. Do you guys ever do that where you have
talk
like
to chicken skin?
No, not to your chicken skin, but you have leftover food. Like I do it like with nilaga or something. And then I take out all the soup and then you fry it.
Fry that. We used to do that. Yeah.
Like you fry it so that it's going to be crispy.
I mean, isn't that just the premise of, well, not saving literally, you. But no, like, what do you call it? The Bagnet X.
Yeah, but
like
this
when
is
you
reversed.
Say bagnet kare-kare,
right.
It's just kare-kare where you fry the thing, which is not even bagnet, right?
No, but this is like after. So
yeah, even, but like it's the
I get
it's
that,
now
I get.
Freshly cooked after you do that.
But it's
technically.
But I did that actually with sinigang.
Wait, pork?
The pork sinigang. Yes, I fried it. It was like strange, crispy, sour.
I don't know how.
Well, they do have dry sinigang, right?
Fried
sinigang.
Is there fried sinigang?
I'm sure there's fried. There's
a fried.
Just the fact that there's fried ice cream, I'm sure there's fried.
Fried of course. Honestly, fried ice cream is more fried dough with ice cream inside.
Yeah, but like, I mean, just the fact that exists tells me there's fried anything. Although, fried pasta. Oh, that actually exists.
Yeah. It's quite good. I have fried pasta at home. I literally made fried pasta the other day.
There you go.
The key is to overcook the pasta and make it like really, really, you know,
soggy?
There's al dente. Yeah. And then you fry it because that makes it like super crispy. Yeah,
that's the only way you can fry it actually. If you don't overcook it, it just breaks down.
Oh, yeah. It looks like chips?
Like chips, like pasta chips.
Yeah.
And then I like furikake on top of it.
Furikake.
Yeah.
Tasty.
But that's like weird.
Or Avineta's also green. we are ordered
it's,
food. It's on the
it's,
way.
It's white, red, and green. It's
as like, long as there's green. That's an Italian flag, by the way, if you guys are curious. Not anything else.
Not
anyway,
other flags.
Yeah.
So aside from matcha and aside from green, so what? And aside from not liking cherries, so what flavor do you guys currently like?
Salt.
Salt
Salty is my
foods.
Favorite.
Salt. Salt and sugar. And salt Ajinomoto specifically.
Speaking of sugar, one of the key things that sushi chefs do is
if sushi becomes a chef,
they marinate the sushi in sugar. So like they put salt, because I saw this YouTube guy, you cut the fish part, the salmon, and then you cover it with salt and then sugar, and then it'll draw the fluids out.
Flavors,
then you wash it off, then you serve it. So it
they dissolve in it kinda, but it's they're not there. I get it. It's like an illusion that where's that taste coming from? This meat is so tasty, but it's actually flavored.
Like slightly brined or something. Mm. Osmosis
it melted the crystals, the salt.
Wash it off. They wash it off.
Oh,
the thing with flavor though is you can't really go wrong with salt and pepper and sugar. That's it. That's
all
you
need. Our body needs salt. Like they force our body.
Coriander, whatever, but like
spices.
So what What flavor does mayonnaise fall under? Is it sweet?
Salty. Sweet, sour, and salty. Like nano, which is also green.
Because it has salt. Because it has salt from the thing. You put sugar as well. And then you put vinegar. There's like all of these.
If you're not from the Philippines, like if you're, what do you call the American people in overseas?
Expat?
Whatever, like if you're a Filipino that grew up in the States and listening to this, probably used to mayonnaise that is just mayonnaise.
Bland. It's kind of
bland and
it's not
egg, right. Egg like the mayonnaise here in the Philippines is just like wow flavor.
Yeah, it's like very salty,
it can still
sour.
Be gross if you're just like eating spoonfuls of mayo, but it's a lot tastier compared to.
I think
to,
it also the Lady's Choice spread, the sandwich spread, the sandwich spread, the one that's like. Mayonnaise
it's a little bit too sour for me,
but that's sort of like because a lot of kids, especially during the 80s, like
it has pickles. Chopped pickles.
Yeah, and they just put that in pandesal. It's like that's a cheap.
Yeah, that's
thing
the ultimate cheapo meal.
Which has chopped pickles?
The Lady's Choice
sandwich
spread. Which is their mayonnaise with pickles and a bit of ketchup. Ah. I'm guessing because it's
redish. It's kind of red. And then if you're really really good, you get the one with meat. It has little pieces of ham. It's sandwich spread ham. Like, oh, little bits of ham.
That used to be a staple.
Spread I'm, a feel, yeah. I'm familiar with. Like chicken
super cheap,
and ham.
Because it's super cheap and it's not really not bad.
Yeah, it's fair. It's
I mean, there's
good.
No meat. So it's kind of sad if your body is looking for meat.
Yeah. But remember, it's like with the bread with like pandesal. Especially pandesal before when it was actually pandesal. Whereas now it's like pandesal. Like really small nowadays, but pandesal back in the day, like it's fit
I mean,
in a kid's hand.
Manila sizes, right?
Yeah, but before it was normal. It was like before that was the normal size of pandesal, right? It's like really big.
Yeah, and it used to be like 25 cents when I was a kid. I don't know. Yep. I mean, someone's probably gonna go like used to be 1 cent. I'm sure, but yeah, for me it was 1 peso got you 4.
Yeah, and it. It's really nice to be able to.
Oh, but you guys haven't had the pandesal here because you're never here in the morning. Mm. Our pandesal is actually really good. Like, you need to try it good.
Pandesal.
It's kind of sweet.
From around here?
Like the bakery in the corner.
Ah.
I'm not going to endorse them.
And the funny thing is, I can say the same thing for the paninderia near our place. But I think it was also because it's fresh. Like fresh.
No, but I've tried fresh pandesal from different places, but mm-hmm. this one is really,
really good.
Really good. Like there are 3 or 4 bakeries in this area, and that specific one is good.
Do they do the malunggay flour?
One of them does. That's not the good one.
Malunggay bread. Oh, it's not good here.
I'm sure balunggay is good because it's green.
it's healthy. No,
there's a popular bakery.
The bakery here that does the malunggay is not the bakery that does the good pandesal. So I'm sure if the bakery that did the good pandesal would do the malunggay bread, then it would be fine.
I see.
But so, no.
Are you guys familiar with Emong's malunggay pandesal?
Is that the quintessential malunggay pandesal brand
it's
or something?
It's very popular in the north.
Mm-hmm.
And they established their own cafe.
Wow.
Nice. It's very aesthetic. It's like Starbucks, but
wow.
Malunggay products.
Starbucks is green.
Yes. Thank you. Our topic was very tasty, even though I was really hungry during all that talk. But you know what else I'm hungry for? I'm hungry for tips. From how not to DM.
Hungry for tips on how to DM. Oh my god. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, for anyone who wants to know how not to be a dungeon master, go listen to our friend's podcast.
It's not how not to be a dungeon master. It's how
you're
not
to,
supposed to dungeon master.
Oh, how not to. Okay, thank you for correcting me on that. Thanks for that, JR. And actually, our JR is a guest. On that show, we'll link you to that episode in the description. Now, yeah, let's go back to the episode. Our next topic will be from Elvin.
Is it another food topic? Is it like every time it's the episode where before we eat? No, anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I think that's a tradition for most podcasts. When they start getting hungry, they start talking about food.
Yeah.
That's a human nature thing.
That's just a tradition of life.
That's true. But actually, what I'm talking about is something sports related. Sports ball.
Whoa, sports. Yes. Sports. We are the sportiest people in the world.
Well, I'm really geeky about certain sports, and particularly I enjoy NBA. So there's a thing called this in-season tournament, which is a thing in NBA right now.
I don't know what that is. I used to watch NBA. I still play fantasy for a couple of leagues right now.
Exactly. And I like the narratives, the athletics of it, but also the strategy of basketball. Because like right now, everybody's like going three-point line because everyone going small because of that. And even big people are shooting the three-pointer because it's like the most strategic thing to do. So it's like a story that's unfolding, which is
so
really cool.
A story. I'm sorry for non-sports or non-NBA enthusiasts like me. I'm sorry for those listening.
Did you say
in season or end season?
In order to create more drama, because
interesting,
because honestly the biggest drama for basketball is during the playoffs. That's where everybody gets excited. That's when everybody's like, okay, everybody stop what they're doing, we're gonna watch basketball. I remember back in high school when the Bulls were in their three-peat era, I remember watching...
I thought you just said the Bulls.
The Bulls. I remember watching it in like a school library. They were showing NBA games because like, oh, okay, it's going to be Jordan fighting, you know, with the Jazz. But that only happens near the latter part of the year. So it's like the latter 82 games is when it gets exciting. So the NBA started this thing called an in-season tournament. Mm-hmm. Each player on the winning team gets $500,000.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
As if they didn't make enough money in the first place.
That's true. But at the same time, do you think any athlete would say, nah, I don't want $500,000?
I don't know. Like, Jordan would say that.
No, Jordan will want to kill everybody. No,
Jordan
and win.
Would want to spend that on a poker hand.
That too. He'll like, I want to win that 500 and
so
the,
I can
and
spend
the,
it on poker
and
the
change
night.
And the change in your pocket when I beat you. So not just the 500, you're second place, right? You're also gonna win because second place wins $250,000.
Oh, they probably gamble for winner take all.
Exactly. He's gonna get like, the winner gets $750. The loser gets nothing.
And no one accepts it.
Yeah.
Just, does that really happen?
No, that's something he would. But no, but that's definitely something he would.
It's a joke. Because Jordan is like super competitive. Uh-huh. Like there was like in the last
not
dance
in baseball. No, sorry.
he was in the minor leagues. He's still pretty good.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's better than me or you.
Of course, but like Jordan before a game, he would gamble against his like bodyguards. On like children games, like I'm gonna toss this coin, and if it's closer to the wall than yours, I win. And then they're betting like $5, $10, then double, $20, $1,000. It's like they're just double or nothing, and that's the thing. Like, do you guys have like something similar where you see like a sports related thing or something that's not traditionally seen as geeky, but something that has aspects of geek in it that sort of attract you to it?
I don't know if it's because for me the one is definitely geeky is the thing, right? Like
some people might not think so.
Really? I mean, like they literally go like, how many minutes should I use my tires before they lose optimal grip? Mm-hmm. A coefficient of friction in this temperature and the humidity. That's literally how F1 works.
Uh-huh. No, like, it's F1, but I was thinking. Maybe
or like
maybe
F4.
No, the other one, the the one that the Americans do. What's the race thing that the Americans do?
NASCAR.
Or, so it's NASCAR is like oh, that's not, exactly. It's but you were talking about Formula One.
Formula One. Yeah. Because like NASCAR is like stamp on the pedal.
Yeah. Like fast.
Turn left.
Yeah. Cars turning left. But at the same time, I think NASCAR also has like a very large depth of like strategy. It's like the pit crews.
Oh, did you watch the Shaq episode of what's the one where Shaq versus? Yeah, Shaq versus where he did NASCAR.
He can fit?
Huh? They put a hole on the roof.
That's dangerous. I don't want to shot. I don't want shot.
It's a roll cage. It's roll cage. So yeah, it's just
roll cage and then
Shaq's head is just on top. Dynamics of the cars.
No, they put a hole still in the roof. They covered the hole.
Okay. Yeah, it's just funny if it's a roll cage and then just Shaq's head on top.
No, he actually fits in the. I mean, it's American cars.
Of course, of course.
They're big. So, yeah, but he was saying, like, Shaq looks fat, but Shaq is actually, like, muscle.
Oh, yeah.
Or even more.
Yeah.
No, he's not buff. Because he has a lot of fat on top of the muscle. But he's actually pretty athletic.
Yeah, he's very athletic.
He was saying he's super surprised at how tiring it is. Because, like, you think it's just driving a car in circles.
You're tensing all the time.
Yeah, because, and Sushi tried my sim racing rig, right? Like 3 minutes, you're fine. But play it for 15 minutes and you're just, like, dying from getting tired. And imagine a real car, which, like, everything is harder. It vibrates a lot harder. Yeah,
and I think I watched the video of Travis Williams, is the F1 racer, the British one. He showed Travis Hamilton. Is it Travis?
Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton. There you go. He showed the wheel that he uses to drive.
It's a PlayStation controller.
Essentially, it's a gigantic PlayStation controller. It's like, how do you change gear? It's like his fingers. Because the split seconds that he takes to do the movement going down and going back up is like the difference between points in the race.
Yeah, I think F1 is the geekiest sport ever, because literally F1 is a bunch of engineers trying to make the fastest thing.
More than chess, or
because chess is like, I mean, I know there's like a Googleplex permutations of chess games, but like it's still chess. It's still it's super complex. Blah blah blah. Right, but
there's no action.
Like, F1 is like you build an engine. Uh-huh. You're limited to this. Your downforce. Like literally, the only thing they don't include is rocket science.
I guess you could compare it to like, what if chess was before you start the game of chess, you find the wood where the pieces
you dry the wood.
Yeah, yeah, you dry them, yeah, like, you like carve chess, them
in. Yeah, because chess is like the drivers competing, exactly, basically, right? Like,
it's just one part.
You still need your Michael Schumachers and you know, Lewis Hamiltons, but like give them crappy cars, which happened to Schumacher at one point, and they lose, right? So a lot of it is the cars and the pit crews.
Yeah, how about you, Sushi? Something similarly not seen as active, but actually very geeky.
I only watch. I don't really go into technical stuff. I used to watch off-road rally races, and then motorsports.
Who did you follow in rally?
That's the part. I don't follow people.
You just watch it.
Yeah, I just watch it.
Pretty cars jumping.
Yeah. Jumping person.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the action. Like, they're racing, they're off-road. It's kind of dangerous, right?
They go off the track and then hit the tree. And then the driver goes out and punches the...
Okay. That happens
a lot in rally.
Wow, okay.
Because like drivers in rally, you forget about the track. And then... So how rally works is you have a... I actually forgot what it's called. I'm sorry. I used to race rally, but yeah, you have your co-pilot, navigator. Mm-hmm. You have a navigator who calls left 5, right 2, bump ahead. Like, you call all the moves, and the driver only listens to you and does it. And sometimes, instead of saying left, the navigator accidentally says right. And that leads to a crash, because there's no time for the driver to think. If the navigator tells you it's a left 3, it's a left 3.
Yeah.
Right? And then suddenly it's a right 3.
What's the numbers for?
It's how hard the turn is. So 1 to 5. I mean, you can make it up your own. But
is that what the 4-point turn means? Mm-hmm. Like 4-point turn, 3-point turn? Is that what that's
I don't think so. Okay. I think the point turn is like how many times you go back and forth.
Oh. So I have a question. You used to race rally. So does the steering wheel have clicks?
So, like, no, nothing. Because I'm poor.
Oh, but they do have steering wheels I mean,
because like, it depends on because when I race, it was old cars, which were manual.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they're categories or something, but
it's just funny when you mentioned that there's like fighting. I thought it was like, oh, is rally like car racing
twisted
hockey?
Metal.
yeah, like twisted metal
no,
or
no, like, you could probably go in YouTube and look for a compilation of drivers beating up their navigators.
Okay, but that it's not like that. It's kind of like if hockey had their people fight one another, and it's like
if hockey was like your enforcers were blind or blindfolded and had someone telling them where to, you know, smash people, and someone told them to smash a wall and they got really hurt and beat up that person.
That reminds me of a very, it's like an old wrestling match. Jake the Snake Roberts versus...
Oh, that's a geeky sport.
Yeah. Jake the Snake Roberts versus, was it?
Ted DiBiase?
No. I think it was Ted DiBiase.
I think they were
blindfolded. They were wearing bags on their heads they're trying to find out. And then Jake the Snake just hit the DDT on it. It's like so cool. Because like he's a snake and he can sense you through the...
you know, I will. I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah. But I think rally is still really relatively geeky.
Because the way rally works, for those who are not familiar, people are given test runs. So you run it with your navigator. So while you're doing your run, your navigator is doing his notes.
Noting.
So he has to make perfect notes. Some argue that rally is half the driver, half the navigator.
But it's mostly
footage of drivers beating up navigators. See otherwise.
Have you ever beaten?
No, No, but it's really because when you're not competing for professionally, like you're also not going as hard as them. So you could actually do it without a navigator, technically, and not get hurt. But yeah, the way the pros do it is like no thinking, just do what the navigator says.
I suddenly realized that Formula One is similar to rally. I mean, you have your pit crew, right? You hear their instructions.
No, Formula One is like you do keep doing the circuit, and then your pit guy tells you to take a lap, take a pit stop. So no one really, you know, the track, because rally is several stages that you could forget.
I see. I've watched clips of the recent Formula One, and the pit crew was telling the guy what to, like a strategy during turns.
Yeah, like don't go as hard on turns to preserve your tires.
Because
you're only given a certain, I don't know the rules for this season, but like you're only allowed 4 tire changes per race, for example. So like if you don't preserve your tires, because if you go harder on turns, you go faster, but
you wear out your
because racing tires are so soft.
I see.
And you wear them out.
So you burn out or wear out?
Wear out. Like they're literally pieces.
It melts
on the ground. I saw this video of them showing how
the thermal thing.
They showed how to clean. So it's really cool. And it's surprising just how many things that are we think of like, oh, this is like a meathead sport, or this is like, oh, that's like just a jock thing. Mm-hmm. Now it's like so much geekiness in it. And I think that
F1 now is super different compared to Senna's time in the night.
Senna?
Ayrton Senna, the one with the movie.
Oh, it was like John Senna.
I never saw him.
Yeah, they call it.
You can't see. Yeah, we can't see him.
Yeah, that's my topic.
Thank you so much, Alvin. So next up, we have JR.
I'm just actually just going to go with another food topic. And I'll just actually bring up longanisa. So it's just like, Let's talk about longanisa. What's your favorite longanisa?
Well, I currently live in the north, in central Luzon. And we have our own brand or taste. Where
I own my own longanisa company.
Not really. I only supply to friends and family.
Yeah.
Where they have, they call
you're
it recado.
Like a it's dealer.
Sushi is dealer. Your friendly neighborhood longanisa
supply.
Dealer. What was the term?
Dealer.
No,
dealer.
Not dealer. Hustler? No.
Dealer is kind of like the most...
I want
you're dealing
a cooler term for dealer. Yeah, whatever.
Distributor?
No, there's a... Anyway.
Anyway. It's a recado. We call it recado. It's full of garlic, longanisa. And it's... The size of the longanisa from Nueva Ecija is, let's say, about 4 inches. And it's in the diameter.
You actually measured the longanisa? Yeah. Like, how about the girth?
The girth is... I was about to get there. The girth is about, let's say, 4 centimeters.
What do you actually do with the longanisa?
I really love longanisa, and I love that you brought up this topic.
We were talking
about eat it every day.
When are we talking about Rodix?
There's a thing with longanisa, though, that I find it's like, I think it's like the longanisa paradox.
Like the longanisa,
the smaller the longanisa, the more intense, like the flavor, like the vegan, like the small ones are so good, but I want them to be bigger. But then the bigger ones are generally sweeter, that I found.
Oh.
And it's like, I don't want a sweet longanisa. I want like.
You like vegan?
I like the garlic.
Vegan or vegan?
Vegan, not V E. Vegan, V I G A N. It's a location
like the
here
location
in the Philippines.
Of the Philippines,
But the it's kind of, it tastes like vinegar.
I actually ran that joke to piss someone off really bad at one point, because like we had a vegan friend who said she wanted vegan food.
Oh,
that like,
and then
well,
you
so,
offered.
Yeah, so like, oh, so what's everyone eating? Yeah, just make sure there's vegan food for that person, and like,
was it like the empanada?
I knew what was going on, and I brought vegan longanisa.
Because
in my head it was funny. In her head, she just got pissed.
But
the thing is, if you think about it, it's very you should be able to make a vegan longanisa, because
that a lot of people will get confused and you won't make any money.
That's true. But because the flavors of longanisa is very specific. It's like the spices is the thing that really makes it.
Is the intestine like synthetic now? It is, right?
It can be.
Like,
but
for most,
I'm not sure though.
Because I think that's one thing that has to, you know. Yeah, you need to make a vegan version.
A vegan synthetic. Yeah, I think the cellulose. You can make a cellulose thing. The one that crisps up really well.
Plant-based.
Plant-based, yeah.
Like rice wrapper.
Like a rice wrapper-ish. And then
just talking about it sounds like a lot of work.
Of course, it's, as long as I don't have to do the work, that's fine. As long as I eat.
But like other people having to do a lot of work means pricier stuff.
That's true. So. Like little bits of fat. You replace it with like flavored oil.
Coconut oil.
That you mix with. No, it has to be like chewy. So it has to be something that you mixed with agar or something to make it like chewy.
Impossible meat and turning into longanisa.
But what's your stance on longanisa patties?
Longanisa patties? Like burger machine?
Yeah, or
I'm
in general.
Like,
burger machine is fine for the price.
Mm-hmm.
They're not great,
but that's
they actually taste like longanisa.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
They're fine. They're essentially sweet.
Well,
patties,
mm-hmm. Longanisa patties from Nueva Ecija.
Oh,
really
yeah,
good.
You have your own.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, something I haven't tried.
So how do you?
We also have pasta with the longanisa toppings.
Oh, that's normal. That's what, essentially what we're going to be having when the olive oil and garlic with Hungarian sausage comes that we ordered. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So that's
the thing that like the sausages of the Germans are so big. Why are the sausages of the Filipinos so small?
It's genetics. I mean,
I don't have an answer for that.
No, what I mean is Filipinos can make the longanisa bigger. Why don't they? I can't understand that.
Wait, not genetics.
Joking aside, they can. That's my point. You can. You just can. Our pigs are the same size.
They do make longer longanisa, but they're thinner.
It's a bit thinner. But that's the point. Here's the thing. I'm thinking, is it our pigs? Is it the Filipino pigs?
Are blaming our pigs?
Yeah, but because they're the intestines, right?
Is it their intestines?
Yeah. Are Filipino pigs' intestines small? That's why we have to make smaller.
It might be. I mean, our pigs
whereas
are
like
generally
German pigs
smaller
are
than
bigger.
So no, in general, our pigs are smaller than pigs anywhere else.
So
right?
Genetics.
So that's the reason why we have smaller. Because if we get a German pig, and then we use the German pig's intestine to make longanisa, imagine a longanisa the size of a Schublig or a Hungarian. Instead of Hungarian, you call it vegan.
Did you know that Hungarian sausage is actually a Philippine thing?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like a Hungarian.
There's no Hungarian sausage.
Yep. Yeah, they call it a knockwurst or something. Or what?
A sausage.
A sausage.
In Hungary, they just say sausage. No. I asked a Hungarian friend, like, oh, what do you actually call Hungarian sausage? And I was like, what are those? Probably just sausage. It's like Filipino adobo.
Well, they...
Yeah.
No, but Filipino adobo is actually a thing, right? Because we have Filipino adobo, which is the regular adobo, and Chinese adobo.
Oh.
Yeah. Chinese adobo is the one with...
Sweet
boiled,
sauce.
Boiled eggs.
Egg?
Yeah, and it's sweeter.
I see.
Because it's based off of a Chinese dish called red pork. Was it called red pork?
Yeah, that's red. The red sweet bean thing.
And then it's rock sugar. It has rock sugar.
Yeah. Oh. And the sauce is...
sweeter.
Mm-hmm. It's still adobo,
but it's sweeter. But even the Spanish adobar is different from adobo, our adobo now.
Adobar.
Because the term adobo, which it started from adobar, which is a dish that... Well, no, it's actually not a dish. Adobar just means marinated.
Ah, okay.
And then that's how it
So it's started. Adobar chicken.
And then I saw a video about the ancient adobo. Sorry, ancient humba?
Humba is humba. Like the current thing in I think it's a Sikihor thing.
Like in the south, like in the
specifically the Sikihor people are proud of it. I'm not sure if it's like originated from there, but they're really proud of their humba. So maybe I don't know.
And then like it's based off the same thing. It's based off that Chinese
a lot sweeter
stew, a lot sweeter. And then they make it so
also
that
has the things. The red thing makes it sweet. What's
is it shwete?
Yeah, shwete.
Okay. Yeah.
Red.
It's just the red thing that you put in oil so that you make it, oh, this is like chicken oil stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But longanisa, I think, would benefit if we were
bigger portions?
Use
bigger
German technology.
I mean,
to create Filipino flavors.
Here's the thing though, why not just eat four of them?
I can eat four of the big ones.
Won't it be harder to cook if you...
I think it's a selling thing, right? Like
possible.
Like if a typical Filipino child would eat one longanisa, one small longanisa and a cup of rice, right? And you can't really do that if you're selling big longanisas. And they're longanisa, so you can't cut them. Because also when you cut them, like when you cut Hungarian sausage or whatever sausage, bratwurst, whatever... It actually gets cut. If you do that with the longanisa, it crumbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like ground meat inside longanisa.
Yeah,
versus,
it's not as smooth.
Versus like an emulsion or whatever that.
But
is.
Isn't Pampanga longanisa more
sweet?
It still doesn't. It just stick to like a sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that like Pampanga longanisa kind of looks like a kebab except sweeter, like kebab meat, like kebab form?
It does.
The kebab, the ground beef kebab. That's what
Hassan kebab, yes. The Mr. Kebab kebab. Mr. Kebab kebab. No. Yeah, but the Hassan one, yeah.
So the Pampanga is the one that doesn't have skin, right?
I mean, there's skinless Pampanga longanisa. There's
skin.
Regular Pampanga longanisa.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, longanisa has skin, right?
Mm-hmm,
and it's eaten with the skin.
Yeah, that's why the skinless deserves a mention.
But we don't. Do we have like a longanisa where you take off the skin?
The skinless ones actually come with a wrapper.
They come with that, but I mean, like, it has a skin, but then you take it off because you don't eat. You're not supposed to eat the skin. Is there a longanisa that does that?
You're not supposed to eat. No, but that's how you do it if you're mixing the longanisa with your fried rice.
Yeah, I get that. Because there is a German sausage where you're not supposed to eat the skin. Oh, and
that's gonna kill people here.
Well, it's edible, but it's like not, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to like squeeze it out. It's like a toothpaste, squeeze it out, and then you like eat it with bread, like a pate. But the thing is, like, I didn't know that as a kid.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's like a whitish like thing. And it's like just chewing, and it was like, It's so hard to chew through.
Why
the
would thing. They make it edible? Just in case someone accidentally does something.
Made of, I guess it's different part of the stomach, But it's still...
Oh, it's like a harder part of the stomach, which you can't really use for sausages.
I guess. But it's chewy.
Or maybe they use that for this week because of the pate consistency so it doesn't
explode. Is there a spreadable longanisa?
Then it's not longanisa anymore.
Nah.
It's liver spread.
I mean, I'm sure some fancy restaurant here has like longanisa pate or whatever. But, you know, who's going to buy that? Fancy people, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
It's just an interesting thought. It's like, because we have a lot of, we're comparing our local sausage with international sausages. And then we're trying to see.
Is longanisa technically a sausage?
Isn't it?
I think so. It's shaped like one.
It's meat.
In a casing.
I guess it depends on what the definition of sausage is. But if the definition of sausage is it's meat that's emulsified together, then no.
Well, I think not all sausages are like what you're talking about. Because like French sausage is like the one that's like ground until it's very smooth.
Yeah.
That's like that type of sausage. But there are also other types of sausage that are distinct.
I couldn't think of one.
Pepperoni is supposed to be.
No, but it's still like you slice it, you get the slice, right?
Well, there are types of pepperoni where those things are sort of, they break apart.
Yeah, but like as well. A piece of it breaks apart. But like you can.
It's not as common in the Philippines, I guess. Is it in Philippines?
I guess the question is it, if you can slice it, it's sausage. Otherwise, it's longanisa.
Do we have Filipino sausage? I mean, tender, juicy. I mean, is it a sausage?
No, it's hot dog. Which, is it a sandwich? No.
That confused me a lot.
Because the hot dog is a sandwich argument doesn't apply to the Philippines because we eat our hot dogs.
With rice.
Hot dog, because technically hot dog is the sausage with a bun.
Uh-huh.
Not just the hot dog.
Oh.
I know people who eat that thing with a bun and rice. So they have
By definition, hot dog is that sausage with a bun.
With a bun.
Yeah. Technically. But like, yeah.
And then they have rice.
And then Elvin, you know someone who puts rice on it.
Is it rice? They have the rice. They have the hot dog.
Wait,
in
is it the same bun?
Is it? I guess.
Carbon, I mean, because like people eat pancit canton with rice.
That's
just to save money.
Not.
This one is no. He just wants it. Is this from the States?
No, Filipino. just wants.
That's a curious.
Such
choice.
A weird, like just a strange thing to have. Like
first time I've heard of that.
I'm like, appalled by this because you could just buy the hot dog and stick and buy another rice. Or eat more rice at home instead of actually spending for the.
The only thing I can think of, because I do something similar, but it's with Middle Eastern food. I get the shawarma with rice, then I get an extra shawarma, but I tell them to put the meat inside the shawarma rice, and the extra pita bread is dessert.
I mean, that's fine. That's more sensible than
the
bun and rice.
We have a friend who eats adobo with ketchup.
I do not judge that. Because I eat sinigang with ketchup.
I will judge that. Anyway, favorite sausage?
Sausage.
Longanisa, sorry.
Vegan?
Yeah. I like the vegan, but
even
I'm saying garlic.
All right. Since she is Ricardo. Actually, I flip-flop, but I guess the default one is just the sweet regular Pampanga's best, right? Sweet longanisa, it's good. With rice, it's good. But then sometimes you want the skinless, sometimes you want the Ricardo. All of them are good.
Here's my bad. I'm sorry. I just want to bring it up. So there is a sweet garlic, sweet Ricardo longanisa from our shop.
Okay.
Hamonada is the one I gave you. It's just sweet longanisa, sweetened meat.
Oh, so you didn't give that?
Yeah, I'm going to buy it. Yeah, next time.
We get to try that next time. Maybe
so
it's our
garlicky,
favorite.
Garlicky and sweet. Longanisa. So yeah, I'm gonna buy it for you guys.
So like
time.
Nano. Anyway.
All right. Thank you so much. And our episode was really tasty. Hope everyone had their dinner, lunch, breakfast. I don't know, but yeah. And that's our show. Thanks for listening to the Random Pinoy Geek Podcast. This has been Sushi with Elvin and JR. And remember, it's okay to geek out
as long as you know when to stop.
Just now.